Thank you, Greg and Scott and instrumentalist. Good to have Charles Roten gathering in with the instrumentalist this morning. Glad to have Kathy and him visiting with us from Kentucky today, as well as Rachel and her kids. So good to be with you this morning. As Greg said, welcome those on live stream. According to my report at before the meeting, I think there may still be some audio issues for those of you watching on live stream. We apologize for that. They've been working on it, but have not been able to get that under control. But so if you can listen to me for the next minutes with my voice vibrating, then you know that maybe you'll get used to it. And when you hear me in person, wonder why I'm speaking so normally. But it's good to be with you this morning. A lot of you probably familiar with Yogi Berra. Now, I know all of you are familiar with Yogi Bear, but this is Yogi Berra, the baseball player. He's one of the greatest baseball catchers of all time. He was also well known for his impromptu statements and interviews. Many of them have become famous, such as 90% of baseball is mental, the other half is physical. And then it's deja vu all over again. Yogi also said that you can observe a lot by watching. And then I really like this one. Always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't go to yours. So if you're catching on with Yogi here. He also said, I really didn't say everything I said. And a nickel ain't worth a dime anymore. And I thought this was really good. He was explaining why he no longer went to Ragazzi's St. Louis restaurant. He said, nobody goes there anymore. It's too crowded. In January of 2005, Yogi Berra was named Wisest Fool of the Past 50 Years by The Economist magazine. And really, I bring all that out just to get us to the point of his quote that I'd like to really start us out with this morning. Yogi Berra once said, prediction is very bad, especially when it's about the future. You get that? So if prediction's really bad, especially when it's about the future. Well, if you had known on December 1st or December 8th or even December 15th what you know now, what would you have done differently this Christmas? Maybe you would not have duplicated a gift. You bought someone a gift and somebody else bought them the same gift and they got to give theirs first. If you'd have known then what you know now, maybe you would not have eaten that extra helping. Maybe you wouldn't have spent as much money. Maybe you would have focused more on the true meaning of Christmas. Prediction is very bad, especially when it's about the future. Today is the 52nd Sunday of the year 2020. On January 5th, 2020, the first Sunday of this infamous year, we gathered here with a sense of anticipation, a spirit of excitement, a perspective of possibility, and a feeling of hope as we have assembled today on this final first day of the week in 2020. It is likely that many of us review this past calendar year with a sense of disappointment, a spirit of discouragement, a perspective of frustration, and a feeling of gloom. 364 days ago, we began our 2020 Sundays with an upward focus, an outward focus, and an inward focus. I would like for us to end this year of Sundays with a backward focus that will hopefully assist us in embracing a forward focus. And to get us jump started, I wanted to look at a quotation, not from Yogi Berra, but rather from King Solomon of Israel, whose wisdom was renowned both in his own day and in the time of the Lord Jesus' sojourn on earth, and is also respected even in much of secular culture today. If you have your Bible with you, turn to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Solomon's wisdom was encapsulated in his 3,000 proverbial wise sayings. 1 Kings 4:32 tell us that that's how many proverbs he spoke. And many of these 3,000 pithy observations are compiled here in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And so we want to look at one in Proverbs chapter 16. And even though context in the book of Proverbs is not the same as context throughout the rest of Scripture, I do want to read the first 9 verses, and we're going to be focusing on verse 9. The preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. The Lord has made all for himself, yes, even the wicked for the day of doom. Everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Again, verse 9. Our text for this morning. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. We began this year with a plan. We called it our 2020 vision, and we set that forth as our theme for this calendar year. It was laid out as a prayed over, biblically based, and intentional strategy that would challenge and stretch us as a local church in our corporate functioning over the next 12 months and beyond. And during the first 3 Sundays of the new year, we sought to solidify answers to questions such as, what is our purpose as a local church? What is God's vision for us to pursue? What will keep us on the right path to achieve these goals? As humans, we planned our way. Solomon says here that a man's heart plans his way. The heart in Hebrew speaks of the inner being of a person. It really encapsulates the mind, the will, the emotions, the passions of a human being. And all of these aspects of our beings were merged under the Holy Spirit's superintendence of our spirits as we considered the Lord's desire for the forward movement of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And out of this prayerful planning was projected a mission statement, a vision statement, and a list of core values that would assist us in our corporate walk into the future. And we began to apply these in our assembly and hopefully in our individual lives as we built up momentum in January and February. But then, of course, something unexpected occurred. The coronavirus, COVID-19, suddenly became more serious in the United States than had been initially predicted. When we met for our services here on March the 8th, we had no indication that the rest of 2020 would pass without us gathering again in the manner in which we had congregated that day. We had planned our way. But as Solomon sagely proclaimed, the Lord is the one who ultimately directs our steps. The Lord of the Bible is the Lord of all. He is the Lord of all, and in His wisdom and in His authority, He, what we might say, lengthens the leash, as it were. And He allows us to plan. He allows us to execute our steps to the degree that He determines to be best. We saw that vividly this year. Our plans were made with the best of intentions, after prayer and counsel, and in accordance with God's Word. There was nothing sinful in our mission or our vision or our core values. Our plan was pure and appropriate. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord. I believe that the Lord was and is in agreement with our plans because they are in agreement with His plans. But the steps He would have us take this year to progress in our journey were different steps than we could have expected 12 months ago. Proverbs 19:21 says, "There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand." In Proverbs 20:24, "A man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way?" In Isaiah chapter 46 and verse 10, we read of the Lord declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Our time together this morning is entitled, "Hindsight is 20/20." In general, we use that saying to say, to when we look back at a situation, it's much easier to have a clearer understanding of what has occurred and what would occur. Things that we couldn't see in advance, we can readily see in hindsight. And so I'd like for us this morning just to take a few minutes to review our 2020 vision and consider some of the ways in which the Lord adjusted the direction our steps would take in moving toward the place He wants us to be. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his step. We laid out a mission, the purpose, the reason for our existence as a local church. We based that on Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. I'll invite you to turn there as we read those verses together. The Lord Jesus, after His death and resurrection and 40 days upon the earth, after rising from the dead, He is ready to ascend back to heaven to be with His Father in His rightful place there, worshiped by the angels and by human beings who recognize His lordship. And we see our mission here is often called the Great Commission. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" Amen. We find here the reason for our existence as a local church, our purpose for being. And we saw and see that it includes three actions in three relationships. Why are we here? Firstly, we're here to exalt the Lord Jesus, the one who said, "All authority has been given to me. I am over all. I am the Lord of all." We recognize that, and we desire that others would know that as well. In Psalm 34:3, the psalmist invites the readers of his song, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." That is our purpose as a local church, to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus. We seek to do that through sincere worship. The Lord Jesus told the woman of Samaria there by the well in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24, that the Father desires those who would worship Him in spirit and in truth, and we desire to do that as a local church. We want to exalt the Lord Jesus through sincere worship and also through submissive obedience. We magnify Him as Lord and Master over all things as we acknowledge Him to be Lord and Master over all things in our lives and in our local assembly. Exalt the Lord Jesus. Secondly, our mission, our purpose, our reason for existence is to evangelize the world. That's why we're here. The Lord Jesus told the disciples who has passed this commission on down to us, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We're seeking to evangelize the world through the communication of the gospel message. Much of this year, on Sunday mornings, we have been looking at the book of 2 Corinthians under the theme Messenger. It has been hopefully driving home to us this part of our mission, that we're to go out with the gospel. We're to communicate the gospel both verbally and visually. Verbally through our words, through things that we write, through things that we type, through things that we say, the gospel message that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and He was seen. And that it's by grace that we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one would boast. Because as many as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe on His name. Salvation is of the Lord. And we want to communicate that verbally. But brothers and sisters, as a local church, we are also here to evangelize the world by communicating the gospel visually. In other words, that they can look at you and they can look at me. And they can look at us in the way that we live our lives and they can see the gospel message being lived out. They need to hear it. They need to read it. They need to see it. They need to know the words, the truth of the gospel, but they also need to see the effect of the gospel. Our mission begins with an upward focus on the Lord Jesus. It continues with an outward focus that is citywide but also worldwide. And thirdly, our mission is to edify the church. The Lord Jesus said in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Building up one another through instruction and through interaction. Through instruction, sharing the Word of God, sharing the truths of Scripture, sharing the things that we are learning as we apply God's Word in our lives, and also through interaction. Living our lives together, encouraging one another, being there for one another when we go through times of joy and times of difficulty and times of frustration and times of struggle. An inward focus of beneficially impacting our fellow believers. And as we think about this mission, which would be mission impossible were it not for the end of verse 20 when the Lord Jesus says, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He is always with us. COVID can't stop the mission of Shannon Hills Bible Chapel because it is the great commission of the all-powerful, ever-present Lord Jesus. Our mission cannot be derailed by a stock market crash, or by violent protest, or by racial conflict, or by murder hornets, or by explosions, or wildfires, or political upheaval, because the one who has commissioned us is the one who directs our steps. No matter what restrictions we face, or what hardships we encounter, or what assaults we experience, our mission will always be to exalt the Lord Jesus, to evangelize the world, to edify the church. 2020 should teach us that our mission is not based on governmental stability, or medical protection or financial security, nor is our mission shaped by standardization or tradition or convenience or preference. Our mission as a local assembly is firmly grounded in the command and plan of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we may ask ourselves here on this last Sunday of 2020, looking back at the year, have the upheavals of 2020 shaken our conviction of our mission? Have the upheavals that we have experienced, none of us have been immune. No one in the world probably has been fully immune from the impact of 2020. Have the upheavals of this year shaken your conviction of your mission? If so, what an opportunity to come before the Lord, even here as we end the year, and confess that to Him. In the honesty of our hearts before the One who knows all things, who is always with us, and thankfully also understands our weaknesses and loves us in spite of them, and says, "Repent and turn to Me and do again the things you did before," as He told the church in Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2. Our mission, to exalt the Lord Jesus, evangelize the world, edify the church. And then we had core values. I'm going to pull this up. We did this third in line earlier in the year, but I want to bring it up into the middle section here of our three points this morning. Our core values are our most basic shared principles and ideals that serve as guardrails to keep us on mission, to keep us on vision. Now we would say, you know, all of the Bible is our core values, and that's true. But it's beneficial, as it is in a doctrinal statement, as we have our statement of faith here at the Greensboro Assembly. We have certain truths that we have focused on. And it's beneficial, I think, to emphasize specific and deliberated truths that reflect us as an assembly, and our priorities, and to express them verbally. It's true that people may just catch these, but how much better for them to hear these and know them. I'll quickly run through these seven core values, shared principles, shared ideals, again, that are guardrails to keep us from going off the road. It's easy to do that, to get into the ditch if we're not careful. Our first core value, Jesus Christ as our center. Jesus Christ as our center. In Matthew 18, 20, the Lord Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst of them." In Revelation 2 and Revelation 3, as the Lord Jesus speaks to the local churches, He is walking in the middle of the churches. That's His rightful place. In the center. And He is our center. He is our focus. He is the object of our worship. He is our motive for obedience. Our focus is not our building. Our focus is not our meeting schedule or anything else. Our focus, our center, is Jesus Christ. The second core value, God's Word is our authority. God's Word is our authority. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 brings this out. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God's Word is the final and complete authority for all we do and for all we say. Our authority is not our tradition, not our opinion, not our preference. It's not the U.S. Constitution. It's not any other humanly conceived document. These all have their rightful places in our lives. But divinely inspired Scripture is the authority to which we ultimately submit, and everything must be brought under its rule. No matter how frustrating or how difficult or how inconvenient or no matter how much against the plans that we had made, our steps are directed by the Lord and He uses His Word. The third core value, the Holy Spirit as our power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Lord Jesus told those disciples whom He was commissioning, whom He had promised to be with, and again, passing that down to us, He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Brothers and sisters, if we ever drift or dash into dependence upon our own abilities to accomplish God's will, we will have circumvented the guardrail intended to keep our steps on the path that He has for us. We cannot do it. We cannot exalt the Lord Jesus or evangelize the world or edify the church without the Holy Spirit's power enabling us to do that. It is not within us. Our fourth core value, gospel transformation as our lifestyle. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Gospel transformation as our lifestyle. Declaring with our lips and displaying with our lives the power of the gospel, the pattern of the gospel. What aspect of our lifestyle is more relevant or more important than the gospel? Dare we allow other loves or other philosophies to ever encroach into the priorities of our lives where gospel transformation does not characterize the way that we live our lives at home, at work, in the community, as we meet together in the local church, wherever we may be? Our fifth core value, loving relationships as our context. Loving relationships as our context. 1 John chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. "In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." You know, our American individualism threatens to twist our God-ordained perspective on the value of relationships. It is necessary that we avoid conformity to the world's model of church, which merely involves attending a service, or putting on a front, or hiding the true you, or sitting in judgment of those who don't toe the line that you have drawn. Relationships oiled with love require a considerable amount of sacrifice and humility, but that's who we are to be. A community based on and exercised in love, a family. That's God's perspective. That's our core value. Core value number six, grace and truth as our atmosphere. John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." God's perfect blending of grace and truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we have been the recipients of God's perfect blending of grace and truth. Truth cannot be compromised or diluted. Neither should grace be compromised or diluted. When a visitor enters our gatherings, they should quickly sense that both grace and truth are valued and practiced here. God's truth and God's grace. God's truth is absolute. God's grace is undeserved. And number seven, Our seventh core value, humble servanthood as our attitude. In John chapter 13, verses 3 to 5, we read of the Lord Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside His garments and took a towel and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded. We desire to embrace and exercise an attitude that reflects the servant spirit of the Lord Jesus. We look back at 2020, the difficulties, the frustrations, the disappointments. Have our commitments to any of these seven core values been weakened? You know, when you do exercises for your core, and some of us may, January 1st, start again on that commitment to take care of ourselves physically. The core part of your body is a fundamental part. Everything else works off of the core of your body. And these core values, everything in our function as a local assembly and in our lives will work off of these. Do we need to renew our commitment? Renew our commitment to these core values, these basic shared principles and ideals that are to serve as guardrails to keep us on mission, to keep us on vision. And thirdly, our vision. Our vision, where God wants us to be headed. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. We looked at this verse as the basis for our vision. We spent some time looking at the first 16 verses of this chapter. And as Paul speaks about unity of believers and maturity of believers, we see there in verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And notice who is central in that verse. It's the Lord Jesus. The songwriter wrote, "Be thou my vision. O Lord of my heart, naught be all else to me save that thou art Thou my best thought. By day or by night, waking or sleeping, Thy presence, my light." You know, the Lord Jesus, He is our vision. The 2020 vision, we mentioned that John chapter 20 and verse 20. We read of the Lord Jesus after His resurrection. He appears to the disciples in the upper room and He showed them His hands and His side. And we read that then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. He is to be our vision. And so our vision, we have worded in this way. Our vision as a local assembly is to know Jesus Christ more deeply and to make Him known more widely. To know Him more deeply. It was brought out in the Lord's Supper this morning. John 17:3. That's eternal life. To know God and Jesus Christ who He sent. We want to know Him more deeply through knowing more deeply the realities about Him intellectually. We need to understand the doctrines, the truths, the teachings of the apostles, of the Word of God, of the whole counsel of God. We need to know more deeply, brothers and sisters, these realities about Him, these truths about Him. And we also need to know more deeply the relationship with Him intimately. Knowing more deeply the relationship with Him intimately. That's the experience. Through daily time in the Word, through being involved in discipling relationships with those who can help us grow and those that we can help grow, mutually relating to one another, and through service. We had some specific visions or specific aspect of this vision, that everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel would have a time in the Word and prayer daily. As you look back over the year, have you been able to follow through with that? You know, as a local church, we're only as strong as each individual part of the body. We are a family, but we're also a body. We also said that we wanted everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel to be involved in at least one discipling or accountability relationship. And we've had to adapt those kind of things for a lot of this year. A lot of personal time together has been restricted. But the vision, the Lord may have redirected our steps, but the desire is the same, to know Him more deeply. And that everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel would be involved in some area of service for the Lord. Again, we've had to adapt. Some of the areas of service for the Lord through the assembly have been restricted or removed. But does that mean we should no longer serve the Lord? No. Maybe it's that we had a plan, but the Lord said, no, I'm going to direct your steps. I want to take you outside of that comfort zone, that normality, and I want you to find out how to serve me so that you can know me more deeply. Paul said, oh, that I might know him. Paul knew him for salvation. Paul knew him for eternal life. But when he said that in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10, he had a longing to know him more deeply. That is our vision. That's where God wants us to be, and to make the Lord Jesus known more widely as we represent him. That's what I believe that we see here in that second part of verse 13. You see, because God is wanting to mature us to completion, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that others may see us individually and as a local assembly. And what do they see? They don't see you. They don't see me. They don't see us. They see Christ. Because we're to represent Him through the way that we live our lives and through the way that we serve others and the way that we share the gospel. Again, we had some aspects of the vision that some were difficult to reach. We had a plan, but God directs our steps ultimately. And He had a different context. We wanted everyone at Shannon Hills Bible Chapel to participate in some form of evangelism. You know, a lot of the evangelistic efforts of this local assembly, we're not able to get into the jail anymore. We're not able to get into the school anymore. We weren't able to have people come into the gym anymore. There were a lot of things. We weren't able to have Bible school. We weren't able to have camp. A lot of the usual ways that we shared the gospel, God said, I'm going to direct your steps in a different way. Maybe you need to wear a mask with a Bible verse on it. Praise God. Some of us were able to do that. A brother here made that possible. And other ways to share the gospel. We wanted to have at least 100 visitors to Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And everybody here inviting at least one person a month. Now, we could still invite people. Invite them to watch the live stream. And who knows how many people we may have reached through the live stream. We reached some through the outdoor service that would not normally come here, but they came because we were outside and we were meeting in that way. God said, I'm going to redirect your steps. We wanted to see the Lord save 25 people as a direct result of evangelism through Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. We started out the year with C4K and some kids getting saved. That was taken away. We don't know what maybe God has done. Maybe God said, I want you to reach out to your neighbors more. I want you to reach out in other ways more. We wanted to increase our involvement in the community by partnering with at least two ministries or nonprofits in the Greensboro area. Again, this has been restricted, but we need to find other ways to do that. We had a vision to start a Spanish language Bible study. And praise God, with Stephen and Sarah Roten. We have seen that vision growing and developing, and we see a God working through Spanish-speaking families in our assembly, meeting together, the Barrios, the Gonzales, the Zelayas, and them reaching out to others. God is saying, okay, you're not going to be able to meet in person, but you can meet on Zoom. We had a vision to have 10 new families begin regularly attending Shannon Hills Bible Chapel. And we have had that at different, not 10, I can't make that claim. I don't know how many, but not 10. Maybe God said, that's not the way I want your steps to go this year. Maybe God said, I want to use this time to actually purify this local assembly. Maybe he said, I want to use this time to help us see how committed we really are in a time of difficulty. We had a vision to start a greeter ministry, and God raised up a brother to do that. But then before we could really get it going, we weren't meeting here. God said, I have a different plan for you. I want you to greet people in a different way. I want you to make people know they're loved in a different way. We may not know what that is. God's redirecting our steps. We want to know Him more deeply. You know, I hope that's been true in your life. Through the trials that you've gone through this year, I hope that the trials have driven you back into the Word of God more deeply. And that there you're... fellowship with the Lord Jesus has become sweeter. And maybe it hasn't. We can get better. We can get bitter. We know that. God says, turn to me. I'm right here. We want to make Him known more widely. Maybe through the way that we respond to this testing, as well as through technology. What is hindering us from knowing the Lord Jesus more deeply, from making Him known more widely? 2020 has required us to be flexible, adaptive, creative, persistent, and more, as we have sought to keep our 2020 vision intact and active. Maybe God has directed our steps in such a way as to force us to decide where our commitment truly lies. Maybe He is purifying our faith. Maybe He is preparing us for coming persecution. Maybe He is showing us that it is Him we really need. Maybe He is teaching us how to adapt to unexpected limitations. Maybe He is providing for us a real-life laboratory for testing our practical unity. Maybe He is challenging us to be intentional and creative in evangelism. Don't fear. Don't despair. Don't resist what the Lord is doing. We planned, but He's redirected our steps. Let's thank Him for that. Father, thank You that You know what is best. Father, we would never have asked You for the things that You have allowed into our lives this year. We never would have chosen those things, but Lord, You graciously have allowed them, and we thank You for that. We thank You here on this last Sunday of 2020. We thank You for what You have done in spite of how it has frustrated us, how it has made things difficult for us. Father, how at times we have been sad, at times we've been angry, at times we've been disappointed, Father, but at times we've been joyful. And at times we've recognized that this is Your hand, Your purpose. We don't know all Your purposes. But Father, help us to be faithful, to continue to exalt Your Son, to evangelize Your world, to edify Your church. Lord, help us to know the Lord Jesus more deeply. Help us to make Him known more widely. Father, help us to hang on to those core values and stay on the path that You have placed for us. Father, we thank You for all that You have done in our lives, all that You're still going to do and wanting to do. And we just ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for being with us for 2020, and we look forward to 2021.